2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Dave and Dejanovic. In-depth coverage on KSL News Radio.
Talking about the vaping industry, you know, and a new study that came out. It shows there's a lot more to the cost of vaping than just the $25 vape pen your kid buys. You know, disposable vape pens could be $5 to $40. It sounds like a bargain until you hear the results of this study, Ethan.
Yes. So what they discovered at Intermountain Healthcare in Salt Lake City is that there is an injury. They're calling it EVALI, e-cigarette or vaping associated lung injury. Hmm. And that this type of lung injury is affects even young people. The average patient in this study was 31 years old, and they can suffer from cognitive impairment and symptoms more than a year later, which is really startling to think that something like a vape pen could trigger a long-term problem like that.
So cognitive thinking.
Yeah.
Brain. That's a huge price to pay.
Now when I hear cognitive, I think of the brain fog, the COVID brain fog.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where you're just not all right there.
Have you ever just out of the blue been maybe sitting around talking to colleagues or at the dinner table and you feel like you're not really there? I've had that happen before. And it's usually because I haven't had enough to eat, or maybe I'm really, really, really tired. I'm like, am I really in this conversation? Kind of just
sideways,
removed.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I wouldn't want that. All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. Let's get with Dr. Denitsa Blagov. I hope I said that right, doctor.
Oh, yeah, no problem. It's Denitsa Blagov. Thanks for having me.
Okay. It's great to have you. You are a pulmonary physician and researcher at Intermountain Healthcare. This study is fascinating, and I think this is going to be a topic of a lot of kitchen tables tonight at dinner. Tell us what you found in the patients that you examined.
So we looked at patients more than a year after their kind of acute lung injury, the e-cigarette or vaping-associated lung injury, and found that a significant proportion, so 39% of them, had mild cognitive impairment. And as you were talking about, this is really concerning because we are talking about a really young patient population. As you mentioned, the average age is 31. So really concerning to have lifelong consequences potentially for these young people.
Dr. Blagov, we've seen in the past problems with vaping associated with black market or unregulated products, and poor quality will cause big, big problems. Is there also a risk of this type of injury when someone is using mainstream clean products for vaping?
Yes. And that is a really great question because we first kind of identified EVALI as a thing back in the summer and fall of 2019. And that was really kind of an outbreak associated with the vitamin E acetate, largely in THC-containing e-cigarettes. And after that got cleaned up and with COVID, I think most everyone just thought, oh, that's not a thing anymore. We don't have to worry about that. But in fact, we have continued to see patients coming in with EVALI in the hospital. So even just using nicotine e-cigarettes or THC e-cigarettes that do not contain vitamin E acetate. So it is an ongoing problem, and these concerns are there even for other types of e-cigarettes.
So is it interfering with the way they think, their moods? Get into more in depth with us on that aspect of what you found.
So both. So the cognitive impairment, we use a validated scale that really measures things like how well you remember things in the short term or clarity of thinking. And then there's a pretty high prevalence of anxiety and depression. So 40 to 60% of patients had mood disorders as well. And 15% of them had pretty significant residual shortness of breath. So, you know, being limited, feeling short of breath with walking just 100 feet. So really quite concerning that once you've recovered, quote unquote, from that acute vaping lung injury, there's still long-term consequences.
How long does that, what do you mean by long-term? Is it forever?
So we don't know yet. We know that at least a year out, people, you know, this, these are the outcomes of people 1 year out. We don't yet know what happens to them 5 or 10 or, you know, 30 years later. And I think that's part of the concern. When you look around and you see middle schoolers and high schoolers vaping, and I think with the pandemic, people are stressed out and maybe reaching for those things even more. We just don't know what's going to happen to people 30 years from now. We do know that, you know, if someone has EVALI, they're not back to normal a year later, or at least a significant proportion of the patients are not.
You know, I who I feel bad for, and I know this isn't really in your purview, but I feel bad for smokers who are looking at the vaping as a way to set aside cigarettes. And I know a couple of people who vape now, and they had previously been very, very into cigarettes, and they vape now, and it must be frustrating for them to have this looming danger. They just took one really dangerous item and they've replaced it with something else that still carries some risk.
Yeah, we definitely see that. And, you know, I think for people that smoke, that's a really, really difficult thing to quit. There are proven methods for that, and we're learning increasingly that vaping is not safe. That being said, the explosion in the e-cigarette market is around young people. So it's also like teenagers with asthma who don't smoke, who pick up vaping because they think that's healthier for their asthma. Or even who don't have asthma, who pick up vaping because their friends are doing it and the way it's getting advertised. So I think we're going to see more of these issues over the next several years.
Dr. Blagoff, I was leaving a store the other day. It sold vape products, and I noticed a sign that said something to the effect of vaping is really dangerous to your health, something like that. And I was like, well, yeah, duh, we've been talking about this now for a while. But then I also thought I heard a story that said the FDA still hasn't regulated vape pens and vape devices. These are still unregulated?
Yeah, I think children are not allowed to buy them, but the regulation that would be really helpful is limiting the amount of nicotine in e-cigarettes. So in the United Kingdom, where the nicotine level in e-cigarettes is regulated, they're seeing a lot more success in terms of using vaping as tobacco cessation. And even there, it's controversial. But here, the amount of nicotine in an e-cigarette is completely unregulated. And so it can be much, much higher than the nicotine in a regular cigarette. And that's, you know, the nicotine is what gets kids addicted.
Yeah.
And so even looking at our patients, we haven't published those results yet, but like, you know, 20 to 30% of people still vape even after they've had that EVALI injury. It is that hard to quit. So people might switch what they vape or how often they vape or what they do. But if you are addicted to it as a child, it is really hard to quit.
Well, and we see that with cigarettes, too. People continuing to smoke even after just terrible, terrible diagnoses. All right. Dr. Denisa Blagoff is with Intermountain Healthcare and participated in this study that we've been talking about. Thanks so much for your participation today. We've got to grab a quick news break, don't
we? Yeah, I want to make sure that our listeners know to stick around because you brought in a Harvard psychologist list of 7 things. This is what Ethan showed up with this morning
in his
briefcase.
I'm obsessed with my failings as a parent. And so this is part of my...
Tell our listeners, tell our friends of the show what this list is.
It's the things that you can do to make sure that your kids grow up with a strong mind. Strong mind.
And there's a list of 7 of them.
Yeah.
Will you quiz me to see if I did any of these on this list of 7?
I sure will. Yeah.
This Harvard psychologist.
Maybe you can feel even worse than I do over it.
Next.
I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast Cold. In October of 1985, a woman named Cherie Warren left work at a busy Salt Lake City office
to meet her estranged husband at a downtown auto dealership.
She never made it home. Cherie's car surfaced weeks later in Las Vegas.
In the parking lot of a hotel casino.
No one knows how it got there.
Strange. It was strange.
Both Cherie's estranged husband and her boyfriend raised suspicion for investigators.
I kind of thought that he might have done something.
But no arrests were ever made. In Cold Season 3, we dig into double lives, make new connections in the case, and examine the difficulty raised by reasonable doubt.
We want answers just as much as anyone else.
They have creeps like that now, too, so nothing's changed.
That's the new Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie. Now available anywhere you get your podcasts.